With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F Yeah Friday. F was for footballs. We covered some football there during the first hour. Here, we'll probably get into a little of your Rockets and your MVP front runner as they take on a good opponent tonight in the Toronto Raptors. Cody Stutes in for Barry Laminack on a Friday as Barry is in Fort Worth doing some comedy. Nick behind the glass and, of course, a part of all of our conversations. And you are, too. So we encourage you to give us a call, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call. You can text. You can hit us on Twitter. And hopefully we'll be responsive to you. I haven't really looked at the text messages today. That's normally what Barry does. Have you looked and seen anything that you want to mention?
Unemployed Dylan checked in. And okay. Said that he, in our discussion about what you wear to bed, that he only wears a T-shirt.
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
Hmm. Well, Nick.
That might be the fat Dylan that always calls me fat, right?
Yeah.
I tend to think that, no offense, Cody, but big guys prefer to sleep without a shirt. Is that fair to say?
1,000%.
My brother's a big guy. He always sleeps shirtless.
So. I would spend the majority of my life shirtless if I could.
Why?
It's more comfortable.
Really?
Yeah. Big guys get hot, man. They get warm.
Although I will say, and you'll see this throughout the year, the ability to control my body temperature to like the right level that I can always wear T-shirts is pretty nice.
I bet you Cody has the AC like at 60, even when it's like 60 outside.
Yes. I'll open a window. I don't care.
So, yeah, that's my brother. My brother would do the exact same thing.
Like Barry needs a regulator switch. Because Barry, when it's cold in here, can still sweat pit out.
Yeah. Don't get it.
It's weird. It's crazy. Like, yeah, T-shirts are never cool enough or warm enough for Barry.
Interesting.
Yeah, because the thermostat, Nick and I'll be freezing in here.
He's a fake fat guy then. He's not a real fat guy.
See, I've said that all along.
He's a not fake fat guy.
Absolutely is a fake. He always talks about how fat he is. Yeah. He's not fat.
Yeah, because true fat people have like an innate ability to control the body temp just right. Now, don't get me wrong. When I get hot, it's hard to cool down. Typically why I end up in the pool without my shirt, might I add. If you're fat, don't wear a shirt in the pool. Everybody just knows
that's
you're
a bad
fat.
Look. When I was a little fat kid and I used to get made fun of because I'd go to the pool and wear a T-shirt. And I thought that was better. Like once it gets wet, there's no hiding what you got. It's all on display.
Pretty true.
Also, if I get hot while I'm sleeping, I'll never go back to sleep.
Some people have to have a fan and have to be cool, and other people like to be snuggled up. There's to each his own.
Do you know in Korea, they're scared of sleeping with fans?
Why?
It's called Korean fan death.
What? Come on.
I'm not making this up. I'm not making this a real thing. They are scared to sleep with fans on in Korea because they think it makes you sick and kills you. It is a real thing.
I feel like my brother uses his fan, but if I turned my fan on the entire night, I would get sick.
I'm with you there.
I would totally get sick.
I'm with you there. I think I always feel like, and a lot of this sometimes can be mental too, but I always feel like there's a threshold where you can have it at a certain temperature. But once there's like cool air blowing on you, I would be like, I agree with the fact that I would start feeling like I was going to get sick.
The South Korean government released an issue saying that exposure to electric fans and air conditioners for too long can cause bodies to lose water and eventually end up in hypothermia.
I don't know about all that, man.
Yeah. Korea is a very interesting place. It's not quite Tokyo and Japan interesting, but Korea's
probably a different atmosphere. Fan may affect you differently there than it does here. You never know. I don't know what the situation is there, but
sharper blades. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, Barry's a guy that has the fan on him. He's made, he said that, the box fan.
Yeah, well, the way his armpits sweat, I mean, it's pretty ridiculous. Pretty serious.
Sleeping, I would rather be cold and then warm up. But like in real life, I'd rather be hot all day.
See, I prefer it if it's the room is cold, so then I can have the blankets on me and stay and warm by being under the covers.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Outside, though, like cold weather outside, brutal to me.
It doesn't. Like my sister texted me this morning, it was -9 in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, my God.
And Tyler tweeted out the fact that it's going to be, there's a front coming in, it's going to make it even worse. I mean, that's just, that's what January is. And
make it even worse in Madison or here?
No, all up there.
Oh, okay.
Now, next week, it's supposed to get cold here again.
Because you said Tyler, I wasn't.
Yeah, Tyler got, he tweeted out, he called me in before the show, too, and he goes, look at this map. Look at what the Wisconsin weather is going to be like. Yeah, my sister. Okay. Yeah, and so there's a big front coming in where it's going to get even colder. It's going to be like, with the wind chill, it's going to be in the -30s to -50s.
I'm out.
I've done it. Been there, done that too many times. People just know that they're going to stay inside, wear bad clothing that doesn't match, and eat a lot of fat foods and take a lot of naps.
Man, that kind of sounds like life, though.
I was going to say, you're out, and now you're reconsidering, see? I enticed you.
I'm out on the outside, but I'm in on the inside.
See? There's a difference, man. Those Wisconsin winters are no joke. But if just like anything else, if you've gone through them enough, you get used to it. You hate them, but you get used to it. But
I wouldn't know what to do. Wouldn't know how to drive there.
That's right. You don't like cold weather anyway.
Wouldn't shovel for a parking spot. Wouldn't do any of that.
Well, you wouldn't be going anywhere then.
I mean, did you guys ever invest in machinery to help with
We had a snowblower.
Okay.
I made a lot of money with my dad's snowblower. I made him a deal. I'll do our walk and driveway and everything like that, but then the snowblower is mine. I'll pay for the gas, but the snowblower is mine. Because then with all my neighbors and you start building up a regular base.
Ah, makes sense.
I made a whole lot of money doing a whole, no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
And I used to do that shoveling, and then my back hated me for too long. So I was just like, you know what? Snowblower is the way to go. And so yeah. I made that deal with my dad. He was cool with it. I maintained the snowblower. That was money-making time with the big snowstorms. But the problem there is you could get 27 inches of snow one night, and the next day it'd be 27 below zero. And that is no fun.
No. Can't imagine it would be.
So there's that tidbit. Yeah, so the Midwest is expecting more. Houston, again, everybody that thinks it's cold here.
I guarantee you everybody's going to be sick next week because it was cold for like a day.
It's warmed up a
little bit.
And
then it got hot again. Well, hot, warm.
But overnight, there's still frost on the grass. There was anyway.
Yeah.
And you still slept without a shirt?
I did. I did. Shirtless.
Just a very strange deal. All right. Hey, Chris Mannix, NBA reporter, is going to join us at 3:30. Talk a little Rockets, James Harden, and the like. Also, talk about DAZN, because he's also working for DAZN, as they're becoming a new way to watch all your big pay-per-view events. So we'll get all that in the second half
calling
of the show.
Calling a fight alongside Sugar Ray Leonard. So.
And Ray Leonard in the building right now, too.
Joel thought he could beat him up.
I did not say that, and I never would. I was just a little bit shocked at I thought he was taller. That's all I'll say. I did. I thought he was taller. Dude, he's a legend.
Do you think he has to take
Are you
care?
Guys? Are you guys? Am I too old? You guys remember Hagler Hearns and all that?
Oh yeah,
those were big deals.
Oh yeah,
Sugar Ray was a huge star.
He's a massive star.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he's in our building.
And then he had to get back and make sure the Chocolate River kept flowing.
We'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started now. Number 2 3-hour show. Cody Stutes in for Barry, who's out in Fort Worth for comedy over the weekend. Nick here, as well as myself, as we continue to roll on. I haven't talked to any hoops yet, but we can get to it. Rockets, Raptors. Tonight on national TV on ESPN, a chance for Harden to go for another big number. But I saw some people, Nick, not just fans, I saw media members that are really just Rockets fans in disguise. Really disappointed that Kawhi Leonard was going to play tonight. Seriously, if you really want to see, if you're a basketball fan, you want to see Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors at full strength against your Rockets. Not just that matchup between the matchup, but you want to see where the Rockets stack up with one of the best teams in the league, right?
Absolutely.
That was going to be my question for you guys about this game tonight. Like, what are you going to take to heart from this game? Because obviously, Paul, not tonight, but back this weekend.
Right, supposedly.
And then Capella gone for right now. It's like, what are you truly going to take from this game? But, I mean, it's been, regardless of if Paul or Capella's been playing, like, the Harden show has been amazing to watch. It's been one of the most fun things in recent NBA memory. And it's more fun to watch each night than Westbrook's triple-double quest that he had, because that was just bad basketball a lot of times. Like, that's how the Rockets are winning, is the Harden show. It's like, what can we learn from this game tonight, even though it's not full-strength Rockets, but it's pretty much full-strength Raptors? What are we learning? What are we going to learn tonight?
I think the first thing is, and we started talking about it yesterday, is as historic as this run has been for an individual, excuse me, it's still very scary to me what this team is. And we really don't know. And again, because of the injuries, I'm not sure when we will know. And the fact that Capella's coming back after the All-Star break, you're going to have a very short window before you can make before the trade deadline comes to try and make any improvements to the team. So I think you want to get a barometer tonight about, hey, with these two guys out, can they still compete with the Toronto team to know as one of the best teams in the East? Also, from a we're starting to see what I had said was going to be coming, and it didn't come right away, but lately we've been seeing different defensive strategies, coaches taking different kind of experimental ways of trying to defend James.
Right.
I think tonight, at least depending on his health, but I think at least in spurts, you're going to see Kawhi just go one-on-one, mano-a-mano with Harden and say, we don't need a W. We don't need to overplay your left hand. We got one of the best defenders in the game. We're going to see what you can do. And see if there are teams that believe that they have a lockdown defender that believe that they don't have to double him. So I think there's a lot of kind of game within the game things that they're going to, it's going to be a good barometer for. But it really sucks that the Rockets are going to be shorthanded.
I think there's a lot you can learn from the Toronto Raptors, despite them being a team that you probably will not see in the playoffs unless the Rockets and the Raptors make it to the finals. Right. But I still think there's a lot you can learn, particularly from who you mentioned, Kawhi Leonard. Joel, I think that's the biggest thing that you could pay attention to. Obviously, the Rockets, you know, are completely admitting the fact that this is not the team that's going to take them all the way and that they're probably looking for a wing and some changes. So in the event that they do meet, they're probably going to have to game plan slightly different. They're still going to play their game. Mike D'Antoni's still going to run his offense. But they're still going to have to game plan slightly different and maybe two completely different teams at that point. And that's if they see each other in the finals. But yeah, I still think you can learn a lot, especially from Kawhi Leonard. You want to know everything you can know about the biggest threat of the Toronto Raptors, and that's obviously Kawhi.
My thing is what if that, you know, like I agree with you. I think it's going to be the Kawhi and Harden show. Like, go out there, you're the dude, go stop him. My concern would be like, what if they again, like, the more people try these different things on Harden, like, the more the rest of the league's kind of peeking and paying attention. And like, the scary thing would be like if they found something that worked for them.
Well, one of the things that's worked lately is to overplay the left hand.
Right.
He can't do the step back with the amount of fluidity and get the free shot that he's been able to do with the step back that he can from the right side. Those are the kind of things that are going to be interesting. But overall, yeah, you're right, because they're going to – Nick Nurse is a guy that used to be in the Rocket, the coach of the D-League team mm-hmm. for the Rockets. He's got some experience with the Rockets and Harden. He knows what they like to run offensively. But for the most part, it's like you just have to stop a one-man band. Like, if they're at full strength, you just know, regardless of what conference they're in, you just need to know, are we a top-five team in this league, or can we be?
Right.
And it's a really good feather in your cap if without two of your best players, you can hang with this team. Because here's the other thing we got to keep in mind, fellas, is during this stretch where they were 2-3, right? They lost to the Magic. They lost to some really bad teams, right? They should have lost to the Lakers. They're not playing big competition. When they played a good team in Philadelphia, they got worked.
Right.
So now you're playing another good team, arguably the Sixers' top four team in the East, right? So now you got another top four team in the East. Can you?
Most wins in the NBA right now.
Can you hang with them? But they've also played the most games.
True. Yeah.
So that's what's interesting to me. Just as a barometer, where are you individually as from Harden? How long? Because the other thing is he can't keep doing this forever. Someone brought it up to me the other day, and it's actually a really valid point. If you look at D'Antoni's history, he had Kobe when Kobe had the monster year, but he ran him into the ground. Had Steve Nash when he was with the Suns, and that 7 seconds or less ran him into the ground. By the playoffs, he was toast. You can't run James Harden into the ground.
As much as he wants to play, it might come back and bite you in the postseason. But it might be a situation where he has no other choice. Especially in the event that some of these pieces do not get back on the floor and show some consistency. We talked about the shooting slumps on some of the players that are healthy in the form of Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker. And there have been times where they've been able to shoot out of that. But I think in the event that the key players do not stay healthy, I mean, he may be forced to do that, especially with the trust factor that we always talk about, that 7 or 8 man rotation that he likes to stick to. And we don't know how much he's going to trust guys like Fareed going into the postseason.
I think he coached him in Denver. So I think he's got a relationship with Fareed. But I think the guy, Nick, that we've gone back and forth on, they got to get Daniel House back. I know that sounds weird, but because of the trust factor. Because Harden already trusted him. Because he can play defense, as you mentioned. He does the little things that a rotational player in this Harden-heavy system right now could use. And they don't have that. The Nunnally guy they brought in, and then they had to get rid of him so they could get Fareed. Because of a quirk with MLK Day and the league office being closed. But overall, they got to find guys that Harden trusts that can play do multiple Swiss Army knife things that help them be a better team.
When Paul gets back, is that, I know just with the injury and you got to be careful, eventually when he's back and he's healthy and you can trust his body, is he going to be a guy that can take some of that weight and some of that playing time away from James?
Absolutely.
And you just rely on Paul running things and you get James an extra? Because that's the biggest concern of anything is like, hey, have a great regular season. That's fine. Win another MVP award. That's great. The only thing that truly matters to a lot of fans is what Harden and the Rockets do in the playoffs. And if this dude's run down in the playoffs, like, that's everyone's going to look at Mike D'Antoni and be like, how'd you let this happen?
See, here's the thing, because it's a huge dilemma. What does Houston want? Do you want to make sure Harden gets his second MVP? Or do you want to really, truly win it, you know, compete for a title? Because that's going to be a big thing, because you're going to have to rest this guy. Like I said, you can't run him into the ground. When Chris Paul comes back, the reason why, it's not just for him to pick up what Harden does. It's to rest him more down the stretch so it's not all on his shoulders. You got another guy that can pick it up. And the key to this, because everybody's like, is the pressure on Paul? Is the pressure on Harden? Key's on Austin Rivers. Because Austin Rivers can also handle the ball and spell Paul. So now you can give him rest for the hamstring and whatever else ails him. Now you can give Harden rest because Paul can do what he's supposed to do and take heat off of James. And everybody's helping each other. But it's such a short rotation right now that with one of those guys out, you go from being a team that can compete with the upper echelon in the West to a team that's going to be struggling to compete at the bottom of the West. That's just my take.
And I don't know how much rest Chris Paul is going to be able to give James Harden when he returns. Like that very first game, I imagine they're going to cap him, I don't know, at about 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, depending on the situation. And when you do play him, Do you do it in a situation where, all right, Chris Paul's on the floor, the team's kind of yours, we're giving James Harden a rest, or do you want to put that burden, even though you're capping his minutes, all on Chris Paul, considering the hamstring injury and the fact that it could reoccur? It's still a decision to make, even if Chris Paul comes back, and you don't know how much rest James Harden is actually going to get, even if Chris Paul gets back. It's going to be a matter of at least 5 or 6 games, in my opinion, where Chris Paul doesn't get hurt. He comes back and doesn't get hurt before you really start seeing any real resting minutes for James Harden. So it definitely can be a concern going into the postseason, no doubt.
And I think they got to do both. I think you got to play him with Harden on the floor, because like you said, he's got to get acclimated to just playing again, and that takes pressure off of him where he is not pressing and trying to do too much with James off the floor. So you play them together, but you still got to give Harden some rest at some point and trust the offense can be run by a guy that's experienced like Chris Paul.
And the really tough part is you're probably not going to get a good full-strength look at you versus the Warriors.
Oh, God, till end of February.
Yeah, and so it's like, if I don't know, I've got a man for the expectations that we can handle Golden State or we can give them a run. Because if you were just some team that knew you didn't have a shot against them, you'd just worry about Harden winning the MVP and see what happens in the playoffs.
That's who you are. In my opinion, unless they make another move, and I know Rockets fans don't like to hear this, but that's who they are. They're a team with the most valuable player that doesn't have a shot in hell right now beating Golden State.
But that might be the whole NBA.
True, but here's the team that took them to 7 games a year ago that if you could just tweak it a little bit, you would think could at least compete with them again. But right now, it's not showing up that way.
Let's see if they can tweak it just enough.
Okay. Hey, we got something you can tweak. We got the second half of the show right around the corner. And you can listen to us. No, not your nipples, Cody. We can continue to roll on with the second half. Coming up next, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books. 90 still to go. It's the big show. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5 on an FEF Friday. Barry out, so Cody Stutes in. Nick and I here talking around a lot of topics. Got football, got basketball. Why don't we hit some baseball? Adam Ottavino, the relief pitcher that was last year with the Colorado Rockies, a free agent, agrees to a deal with the Yankees. And the big deal is not the money. Not the years, not the fact he signed with the Yankees. Mm-hmm. The big deal is he wore number 0 with the Rockies, and he's going to wear 0 for the Yankees, and no one has ever worn 0 for the storied franchise that is the New York Yankees.
So we can talk about the Yankees and their silly rules and all the tradition and crap they have in just a second. But Joel, this news item, last night when I was watching the Pro Bowl skills competition.
Boy, your life is awesome.
Made the bottom line for baseball. It said MLB, it flashed along, and then it said Schmuck Reliever is the first to ever wear 0 for the Yankees.
Okay.
And I'm just sitting there, and I'm thinking, there's a literal all-star team that's unsigned, and that's what baseball makes the headlines with, a guy wearing 0 for the Yankees. I don't know what they have to do. I don't even know what they can do. Like, I don't have a recommendation, and I don't have a solution for them. But baseball's got to fix this. They have one of the most boring off seasons in all of sports. It is horrendous that Manny Machado is not on a team right now, that Bryce Harper's not on a team right now, that Keuchel's not on a team right now. And I don't know if it's incentives. I don't know what they need to do, but for this to be damn near February and these guys not have a team and baseball to just be totally off the radar when the NFL can stay on the radar in free agency a whole summer, when the NBA can do the same thing, for baseball to just be totally off the radar is ridiculous. They've got to fix that.
Well, and the thing is, at least you know these guys are going to end up with a home, whether it be a new home or a place to play. They're eventually, Bryce Harper and Machado and all these guys are going to end up going places. It's just a little bit peculiar that these guys that are, we're supposed to get these massive deals that were going to be highly sought after. And sure, initially there was a lot of, you know, activity. But the fact that none of them have signed, pitchers and catchers report in 3 weeks or less, it is interesting that baseball has a bit of a dilemma, and the numbers that we're seeing for the two big names aren't close to the $400 million deals that they were supposed to get.
No, like A.J. Pollock signed with the Dodgers this week. Most people who don't know who A.J. Pollock is, really
and
nice.
That's most people, by the way.
Yeah, really nice outfielder for the Diamondbacks, ends up with the Dodgers. He makes like $55 million, I think, on this contract. 5-10 years ago, This guy would have made a $100 million contract easy in baseball. Just they, I don't know what baseball has done. I don't know if it's the union has just blew it or if the owners are colluding about this. I don't know. But the fact that these guys are not willy-nilly spending anymore is just, it's ruined their free agency.
Compare it to basketball. Where we were talking about, was it yesterday, Nick? We were talking about Mike Conley Jr. Mike Conley Jr. has never made an All-Star team. He's making $31 million a year.
Yeah, he got maxed out a couple years ago, right? Yeah.
I said Reggie Jackson was overpaid. But Reggie Jackson signed a deal, a multi-year deal, at $11 million a year. Right now, and Nick made the point. I was like, at the time he signed the deal, it was ludicrous that he was getting $11 million a year. And he hasn't really lived up to it. But now, with inflation and the way salaries are in the NBA, it's actually a pretty good deal. As opposed to baseball guys, when you figure about, you got to go through all the different loopholes about team control, and you're making peanuts for the first couple of years. Then you get 2 years of arbitration before you're finally on the market. Just take George Springer, for instance, and watch how much money he's actually lost by going through the system and having an Astros team try and hold him back just to save money while they sucked, and then hope he doesn't have hard feelings when they move forward.
You play damn near 7 years to get to free agency, it feels like, and then the owners go and screw you when you're good, when you're great. Like, A.J. Pollock is a really nice player, and he made nothing compared to what he should have made. Like, Bryce Harper is slightly overrated, but really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to get anywhere near what his true value is to a team. And every one of these teams makes money. Every one of these teams makes lots of money. They can afford these players. It is just ludicrous that we are just sitting around waiting when free agency in baseball should be absolutely crazy fun, and it's one of the most boring. No. It is the most boring offseason in sports.
It has been awful for baseball. I'll give you that. But then you say everything that you just said, right? So if you're an agent, you need to be giving your player good advice. Yasmani Grandal left the Dodgers to go to the Brewers, signed a one-year deal for $18 million, but turned down a four-year, $60 million deal with the Mets. If you know anything about anything, he said when they asked him about this, he admitted straight up, I had a 4-60 deal from the Mets. I turned it down. They said, why? He said, I felt like I owed it to the rest of the players. I owed it to the fact that if we're going to get more money for the players, then we got to be able to do this so that we get paid what we know we're worth.
We have to keep the average annual value of the position up.
I feel like if you're an agent, you gave him bad advice. Because if he gets hurt or something goes wrong, he doesn't hit like he has hit with the pop and the average, next year he ain't getting close to that. You get, and the good thing about baseball is once you sign on the dotted line, you're getting all 60.
Yep.
So you should have signed that deal because of what's going on in baseball. But he walked from it trying to be a good Samaritan for his brotherhood. Boy, I'll tell you what, you better hope that thing doesn't backfire.
Oh, no doubt. And look, I'm putting a lot of onus on the ownership and things like that. This is on some of the players, too. Like, is there a huge difference if you're, say, Dallas Keuchel between 125 and 150? I mean, I'm going to sit here and say, yeah, that's $25 million. But if 150 is not out there, but 125 can get you signed and get you working and getting you ready, then you kind of got to take that 125 to an extent, don't you?
Yeah, and you know how agents are doing it. They're trying to get that extra year or two when you know that, hey, your skills have already deteriorated, but you cash in and get rewarded, and it kind of makes up for the way your career starts with team control. But the problem with a guy like Keuchel is when you hook him up with a guy like Scott Boras, he's selling you on playoff experience, left-handed Cy Young Award winner. From an Astros fan's perspective, what we're telling you is not worth buying at that. What you're selling is, right, we've seen a guy that's lost his pinpoint control, velocity's going down, been hurt, I think, the last 3 years, at least at some point in each of the last three seasons, and you go, 5 and 100 is too much. Because that's what he wants. That's what they were trying to get the Braves to do, and that's where he can't find anywhere.
I love the conversation you and Barry had yesterday about go to the table, see if you can just get a two-year deal, mm-hmm, with that option maybe on the second year. Just see if you can snag him for just one more year maybe. And look, you're not paying anybody this year if you're the Astros.
I told Barry, I'd rather have Wade Miley at a much cheaper price and a guy that probably wants to win a ring that might give you a discount than continuing to go to the well with a Dallas Keuchel who's shown that he's been injury prone and he hasn't been the pitcher he was when he won the Cy Young.
You know what? You bring that up. Pretty much any pitcher that comes here, I just assume they're going to get better because Brent Strom is a wizard.
Not only that, but they, as I mentioned yesterday, but their lineup's going to give you more runs than most.
We got to agree that they're not done, right? They still got to do some more.
No, they're not done. And they got to see what happens with Marwin, too. So, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Here's the other thing. The other team that's supposed to be getting into the Keuchel mix, the Yankees, as you mentioned, if you got a problem with the bottom line saying that Adam Ottavino is going to wear zero, wait till Keuchel's got to shave the beard if he signs with the Yankees. Because that's another ridiculous rule. If you play for the New York Yankees, you don't have facial hair.
You got to be clean.
That beard ain't going in. That's a moneymaker in itself right there.
I know.
So especially in New York.
He lied to all of Houston, said he'd shave it if they won the World Series. He never shaved it.
Can you imagine the deal the manscaper is going to give him, Nick, if he has to shave the beard? Well, then, but it's a one-time deal because then he can't grow it back.
Be the $100 million shave club.
There you go. That's right. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Much more on the big show. It's Hour 2, 3-hour extravaganza, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep in hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Top of the hour, we will be joined by the Sports Mappers, and then at 3:30, Chris Mannix, who many of you know as a longtime NBA reporter, also working for DAZN. And Nick, because of your, shall we say, I don't want to say expertise, but your full knowledge of different ways to use the internet to view sporting events.
Oh.
DAZN is supposed to be the newest thing coming out where you can get every pay-per-view of every UFC and every boxing and everything else. And it's supposed to be at a very affordable price. So we'll have him fill us in on that too.
Yeah, I think with the advent of HBO taking a step back out of the boxing game, it kind of opens the doors for other platforms to kind of step in, especially in the digital era that we're on, that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. So I think this online streaming service is actually going to be more common in the fight game, like not just in boxing, the UFC. I mean, the UFC has kind of embraced that since its existence. But yeah, I think with the HBO stepping out a little bit, I think it opens the doors, and I think that's a great platform. So we'll see.
I went to their website, yeah, and their website is just, hey, you can start your free trial here, and that's overlaid over a bunch of dudes getting hit in the face. So it kind of makes me want to get it. Like,
I know what's going to make Nick want to get it. No doubt about it. And maybe Chris Mannix knows and he's involved in it, and maybe not. But Nick, as long as your girl is covering sideline for DAZN, you will want to get
it. Who is it again? I forgot.
Your girl, Kay Adams.
Oh, that's right.
Kay Adams doing
a little
fight coverage.
That was kind of a surprising addition.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. Didn't expect
that. Nick
is
a big fan, and he should be.
Yeah, she's a pretty gal.
Yeah, she does the Good Morning Football on the NFL Network.
Oh, okay.
Sneaky good.
Yeah.
And maybe not that sneaky, but good.
Good for her.
Yeah. And I told you, Charlie Arnault, the ex-WWE behind-the-scenes reporter that is doing some SportsCenter now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Still strong like rope.
Mm, I don't care if the cookies are up on that top shelf or not. She's there next to him. She's got lots of dessert right there on the top shelf. She's good stuff right there. Just a little side. You didn't need that, but I'm giving it to you anyway. News of the day, as we mentioned, Nickell Robey-Coleman fined for the hit that wasn't in the Saints game that sent the Rams to the Super Bowl. Now, you have mentioned to me during the break that because of the fact that last night tight end Ben Watson had called out Commissioner Goodell for still not making any comments about it, that Goodell has talked to Sean Payton.
So Adam Schefter reported today that Sean Payton has met with Roger Goodell, the head of NFL officiating, Al Riveron. Mm-hmm. He's met with Troy Vincent, who's the vice president of football operations. He's met with competition committee chairman Rich McKay, and the overarching
sentiment
result they've come up with is it's a call officials should make. Goodell's also had a conversation with the Saints ownership, particularly Gail Benson. So while he's not said anything public, he has discussed at length this with apparently important people in the Saints organization.
Bill Vinovich, who was the lead official in that game, like many officials, and I don't know if you saw this, Nick, or not, but Cody and I were chuckling about it. He's also a college basketball referee, like a lot of guys are. They make their money refereeing other sports. A guy that's name will not get any kidding from me, but Jerry Seaman, who used to be a longtime NFL official, also he's from Wisconsin. He officiated Big Ten basketball and lots of basketball back in the day. No, don't touch his name.
But I was just going to ask how many boats he'd been on.
At least you went that route. I think my partner would have gone a different
way
route
worse.
Had he
Barry
been,
been
here.
Way worse.
Yeah, he would have dabbled in a whole different genre, so to speak. But Bill Vinovich was doing a BYU game last night. It was on TV. The BYU fan base had a sign that said, "Bill, please don't screw these Saints tonight." They made them. The fans take it down. I say well done on so many fronts. Like, one, way to do your homework to know he was going to do your game.
Exactly.
And then two, know who he was. And three, have the sign. Fantastic. Well, I hate that they made him take it down. They didn't have cuss words in it.
No, not at all.
Not, I mean, I get it. It could be offensive to him, but everybody else is going to chuckle about it.
Refs are so soft.
Oh, yeah.
Just soft.
I give you this as Exhibit A for why they shouldn't have had to take it down. When they do game day for college football and they brought to you and they give you all the signs and everything like that, I'd say four to five out of 10 by college students behind Lee Corso and Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler, they are grossly offensive and way worse than that.
Yes. Yes, no doubt.
So if you're going to allow that, come on, man. That was just, that's creative. That was funny.
Refs are so sensitive, I think, in part because they probably get a lot of criticism from, like, their bosses and who they answer to. And then you couple in the fact that fans absolutely crap on them. Like, I'm not taking it from you.
I've told you guys this before, but when I was in the NBA Brethren, the broadcasting meetings were always at the same time as the referees' meetings. And on the final day, for at least half a day, they would put all of us in a room. And it was supposed to be for the referees to just tell us new rules, rules changes, or frequently missed interpretations of calls by broadcasters.
Uh-huh.
It was the most contentious, stress-filled couple of hours of our lives for that year. Because you went in, and just like you were saying, the referees are already sensitive. And they already know that in their minds, the people that start all the negative talk that give them the most heat are the broadcasters. So what they do is they would show on the big screen certain calls. And they wouldn't tell you if it was right or wrong at the time. And they'd go, "Joel from the Rockets, what did you think that call should be?" And I'd be like, well, to me, he looked like his back heel was in the circle. I would say that it was a block. Wrong! Wrong! And that's the thing that you said on the air, because boom, here's how it sounded on your radio broadcast.
Oh my gosh!
And they did this for TV guys, national guys, local guys, and we were all like, we would sit there going, "Don't call us. Just don't call me. They called me last year. Don't call me again." And I mean, they would lay into you. And then when the head of officials would get up to speak to the group, Joe Borgia, who's now the guy in the controls whenever they go to a replay in New York, he would sit there and he would literally find other calls they didn't have replays for, and he would be like, "Clyde Drexler, when you were on the broadcast, you screwed this call at least three times last year. This is what actually should be called when you see a guy that you think carried the ball and did." Now, granted, Clyde never went. But for the guys that were in the room, you were all fair game, and chances were you were going to get called more than once, and it was awkward because these guys are defensive, man.
Especially that's the when anytime you meet, the only time you meet is when they criticize you. Is there ever like friendly
meetings? Tried, and in some cases the younger guys would sit next to us because they'd make us take a test too, and then they'd grade the test. And so the younger guys would be like, "Which one are you having trouble with?" And they'd be really cool about, "Now, see, the stickler is the wording because they're going to get you on this, but you should get that." And they were kind of helpful. But like your friend, Joey Crawford. The Joey Crawfords of the world and those guys, Mm-mm. But then what the funny thing was, during the season, when they'd come up and they'd recognize the faces who were in the room during that, and they'd be like, hey, what's up? And now the broadcasters are like, screw you, buddy. You're the one that came at me hot and heavy for a call that I had no clue you were gonna. And it was, so it didn't really help. It actually hurt. It was better because you knew interpretations of rules, but it didn't make any kind of bonding happen between the referees and the broadcasters.
No, I can't imagine so.
Oh, man. Some of those things, man. And the thing was, when for a couple of years, they had the ex-military guy that took over the refs. So they made everybody pass physical fitness tests before the season. So while these meetings were going on, I guess at 6 a.m., referees were on all the treadmills, and they were trying to do their fastest, like, 3-mile runs.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
all these other things. So then they were coming in with everything that looked like it had been in the dryer too long. So everybody had, like, the schmedium sweaters and the T-shirts underneath the sweaters. And they wanted to prove to you, not only were they smarter than you on calls, but they were definitely more physically fit because they had done their testing. And you see Joey Crawford come in with a medium sweater, and you're like, bro, those days are past.
Maybe we put an X in front of the large this
right,
time,
but at the
Joe.
Same time, when you walk in and you already have an attitude, but now you feel good about yourself because you've been working out, the heat they're bringing, you better sleep in the nude, because otherwise it's going to be way too warm. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I can't believe they did that. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome for, like, outside. I'm sure it was awful to go to, but, like, hearing the story, that's an awesome story.
But you see, like, Mike Breen and some of these guys that are going, please don't call on me. Please don't do this again this year. Don't make me the example of the one that, you know, you get wrong. It's like, oh, it was an awful situation.
I can't just imagine one of them trying to run down a Hubie Brown.
Yeah, yeah. Some of those guys were like, I dare them to call on me. And they wouldn't, because they're not calling on McHale either.
Right.
All right. Hey, we got 1 hour to go on the big show. That means the Sports Mappers join us next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
All right.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.